Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause.
Good morning, Edwin.
Good morning, Andrew.
Happy Monday, my friend.
Happy Monday and
happy April.
That's right. New month. Here we are.
Happy April to all of our listeners joining us for Text Talk.
Yeah, we're continuing on. It's a new month. It's practically a new book because we've only spent 1 week in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, just getting warmed up.
And now we're moving into the second chapter of Revelation. And now I think here's where it's going to get good. I have heard from people, they say, boy, I wish you and Andrew would disagree more so we could hear that. And I was like, well, I mean, we're like in lockstep usually. But maybe Revelation. I know Revelation is this complex, weird book. We may get to say, yeah, this is how I see it. And you can say, this is how I see it. And then we can get emails from people to say how we're both wrong. And well, we'll all learn a little bit as we walk through Revelation over the next 21 weeks.
It's the beauty of a book full of signs and symbols.
Yeah. Yep. And I know one of the things that I tend to do is I stay out of some of the arguments that go on with Revelation, like the dating. You know, I think some people were a little frustrated. We didn't try to date it last week. I know for my perspective, I tend to think the way Revelation helps us most is to not even actually worry about that. Whether in their context it was about Jerusalem or Rome, for us, it's still the same.
Yeah.
And it's about the fact that we have an enemy. Mm-hmm. And God is stronger than our enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. That's kind of the way I focus on it. So I know we'll get into probably even some more of that as we go through Revelation. But here we go.
I just think that, this week, next week, basically the first two or three chapters, I think a lot of people are going to be tracking with this. Like, I've read that.
Yeah.
When we get to chapter 7 and following, people will be like, man, that's always where I go back and start at Acts again. Was there more to the book of Revelation?
I fear that's very often the way it happens, and a lot of times because of all the arguing of the details, and that's why I tend to take a more just general look at this as a story that says our God wins. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what I'm going to be saying for the next 22 weeks. We're going to hear that a lot. Our God wins. Anyway, let's hear how he says it in Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the words of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Well, Jesus Christ has a lot to say to these churches, doesn't he?
Yes.
As he focuses in with messages to the seven churches of Asia, communicated by the Apostle John, as we talked about last week. We start, though, in chapter 2 and verse 1, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? And maybe we want to back up to the end of chapter 1 just to appreciate this is also part of a vision. We have seen one like the Son of Man, who is Jesus, and he is standing in the midst of all these lampstands.
Yeah.
And then he's got a message to them.
Yes.
But those lampstands are explained. That's one of the symbols that is given. These are these seven churches in Asia.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said at the end of chapter one, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. He said the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. You know, this is one of the places where the mystery is explained. And yet, even when it's explained, we're still not quite sure what is meant
by
that.
Well, you've got this word messenger, right? It could be an angel. It could be a preacher, a leader.
Yeah.
This messenger from the Lord.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It could be some type of spiritual being that is somehow connected to the church, or it could be the messenger, maybe preachers, or it may just refer to whoever is the one that's going to be reading this book to the
message.
Congregation. This is the one that, hey, I'm giving to the messenger. Here's the thing. What I really want us to see, though, is I want us to see Jesus right now. We've got four of the letters, and we'll talk about this again next week when we see the other three letters. At the beginning of each of these seven letters, Jesus uses a particular aspect of the description of who he is to say, all right, this is the one that's talking to you. This is the one that you need to listen to. So when he wrote to Ephesus, it's the one who holds the seven stars and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I think that's really powerful. The whole thing kicks off with, I am the one who is actually walking among you.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Jesus has ascended. He's gone to his throne in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God over the church, over the earth. And yet what he wants these churches, as he's writing them to know, what he wants us to know, even today, I think, is I am still among you. I'm walking among these lampstands. I hold your messengers in my hand. This is the point that he is making him. What do you see in that one?
No, absolutely. He repeats several times in these messages to these churches and then the ones next week that he knows, right? And so here is this awareness. And whether the church is in a good situation, you know, he starts out with, Ephesus. It's maybe looks good on the outside and not that good on the inside. I know we're going to talk about the different churches as we go along.
Yeah.
But there are no secrets before him.
Right, right. And when we get back to talking about what he says to the churches, we'll often find that these descriptions he uses of himself at the beginning actually play a part of the letter itself, it comes back to, there's a reason why I described myself this way with this letter. But I do love this, and I want us to begin here. Revelation is written to Christians who are embattled, who are persecuted, who might think they have been abandoned by God,
right?
Who might think they have been forsaken by God. And what Jesus is saying is, no, I'm right there. I'm walking among you. And we need to remember that. He is with us. Then he says to the church at Smyrna in verse 8, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Tell me what you get out of that.
Well, again, I see the call back to how he is described in Revelation chapter 1. Because in verse 8, that's how he introduced himself in Revelation 1. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Again, in verse 11, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And so he is, here's this connection that this is Jesus Christ speaking to them.
Does this, when he talks about being the first and the last, this is the way God often describes himself. So there's a claim of deity here, isn't it?
Oh, of course,
The oneness with the mm-hmm. Father. Mm-hmm. And when he talks to Smyrna, he's going to talk to them about being faithful unto death. And he'll give him a crown of life. So that recognition, he's the one that's already demonstrated
he's got the
victory
keys of it.
Over death. Mm-hmm. He wrote to Pergamum, and he said, it's the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. Wow.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, he is the one pictured with this sharp sword coming out of his mouth in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16.
Yeah, and even there he says, look, if you guys don't repent, I'm going to bring that sword against you.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
I think that's the kind of the shocking thing. We'll see more of that again when we talk about this letter later in the week. But it's this, here's the sword of his mouth that could just refer to the word of, I don't want to say just refer, but I know in Hebrews, the two-edged sword is the word of God.
Right.
And Jesus is the word of God with the word coming out of his mouth. He says, I will war against you with that. If you decide that you don't want me, I'll war against you with that.
You can have him as the savior. You can have him as the judge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be one or the other.
Which is really something to think he's talking to a church like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't these all the people who have said, you're my savior, you're my Lord.
Yeah. And I think, let's keep that in mind, because when we come back and talk about Pergamum later in the week, at the letter specifically to them, that's going to be important to see that as we're going through Revelation, the book of Revelation is talking about how the persecution is coming back, how the persecution is coming on the church, coming on Christ's bride, the one that's supposed to be invited to the wedding feast. And what he's pointing out to those who are members of this bride, look, if you guys don't, you know, stay faithful,
right,
you're actually going to be in the other city, and I will be waging war against you. You may still be showing up at church, but I will be waging war against you as much as I'm waging war against anyone else.
Right.
And so then when we get to the fourth letter, and we'll talk about the other three in chapter 3 next week, looking at how Jesus describes himself. But here in chapter 3 and verse 18, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. What's up with that?
Again, with the eyes, he's seeing all things.
Yeah.
But with the feet as burnished bronze, these are feet prepared to walk through the fire, have come through the fire.
Yeah. I know we're going to get to places later in Revelation where it talks about trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. You know, that song as it's quoting.
Yeah, it comes out of the Bible.
I can't help but think, actually, even just of one of the very first promises. You know, we are going to talk about the serpent of old.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first promise is that Adam and Eve and the serpent.
And the curses in chapter 3, verse 15.
Yeah, in Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talks about the fact that you'll strike his heel, but he will crush your
head. Crush his head.
And it's that idea of being able to stomp on the enemy. Mm-hmm. Here is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And as we go through Revelation, we will find the seed of woman as a part of this battle. And I think it's just giving us that idea. Here's the one that will have victory over the enemy. He has the feet that are burnished, refined by fire, able to trample the enemy under his feet, crush the head of that serpent.
I see two things here in Christ and all these pictures of his might and his glory and his awareness. The first is that he has not given up on these churches that are straying from him, that are dealing with, it sounds like, sin and compromise, all right? He wants to straighten that out. He's calling them to repentance.
Yes.
He has also not forsaken the ones who are faithful and suffering for it.
Right.
And I think that we could be in situations where the hardship is so great, Lord, why won't you do something? Or we could become so disgusted with hypocrisy and false religion, we think, Lord, why won't you do something? One of the messages we get in Revelation is that he is never unaware and he is never far away, but he is going to act rightly and in his time.
And in fact, that's what the apocalypse is. The apocalypse is pulling back the curtain to show us that God does know and God is doing something.
That's
He's not doing it on our timetable.
Nope.
But he is doing it. If I can just wrap up before we finish, and I know we're running, well, we're already over time. But one of the things, I know where we're heading in this story. Where we're heading in this story of Revelation is we're going to get to the end where there is a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
There is a wedding feast, the Lamb and the Bride. And it's one of the pictures that I carry with me as I read through the book of Revelation. And what we have right here at the very beginning is we see the Lamb, we see the groom. And then we see the bride. And the bride is the church. And this is not seven brides. No, this is seven manifestations of the bride, people who are in the bride. But these are letters that the groom is writing to the bride saying, look, if you want to be at the wedding feast,
right,
please listen.
Yeah.
But man, look at the groom. Look at the groom. Who wouldn't? What bride would not want this kind of groom? And that's an amazing thing about Jesus. We'll see that again next week. Thanks a lot for the conversation. If you have questions, if you have comments, go ahead and send them to us. texttalk@christiansmeethere.org. Let's wrap up with a prayer.
Our great God and Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we can study your word and we can read Revelation chapter 2. We know, Father, that as you have messages for your people, we need to have open ears and open hearts to hear them for ourselves. That in these different messages to these churches, it's like holding up a mirror. And we can look at ourselves. We can look at the congregations that where we're a part and to see, Father, if we are in good communion with the Lord. And we, if not, that we would repent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throne.